Hey everybody, it's Lady A.
And DJ.
What's happening, DJ? How are you?
What up, though?
I'm good. You know what? It's been a while since we've done the podcast. I mean, it's been a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had a lot going on in terms of just work and life and work-life balance.
Look, life happens.
I mean, everybody can relate to that. So we were away for a little bit and we weren't able to kind of come back and produce videos.
Hey, we're back segments. Now, though.
Exactly.
We back
so
now,
we're
though.
Good. We're good. We're back here,
listen
y'all.
Listen up.
Thank you guys for sticking with us. We're back now. We're good. And let's do it, right? So let's talk about something that has happened in the upcoming, well, the last couple of weeks where we had an episode on Amber Evans. And we told you guys that, you know, she was missing at the Scioto River. Anybody that did not or is not aware of Amber Evans, you can check out episode one where we kind of really go into very great detail about her. She was an activist coming out of Columbus, Ohio, and she went missing. Well, unfortunately, they found Amber.
Dead.
On March 23rd, they did pull her body out of the Scioto River. And, you know, unfortunately, we have to report that. But we are, on this podcast, we do believe in following up and sticking with these stories and giving you guys updates. So, the background on Amber Evans and her body being found on Saturday, September 23rd, will be coming up on our next podcast. We'll go more into that, DJ, and we'll kind of talk through that. So that way everybody kind of knows and they kind of get an idea of what happened to her. And sadly, again, she was found dead. Now, just so people don't start speculating, we're not saying she was murdered. We're going to talk about that on our next podcast. But her body was pulled out of the Scioto River in Columbus, Ohio. And the medical examiner has not given a cause of death yet.
So. Right. What do you think, Lady A? But my thing is, the speculation is, we don't want to speculate if she was murdered, though. But, I mean, you're smart and I'm smart, so common sense tells you what really has happened.
And given the evidence that we presented in episode one, anything's possible at this point. I'm thinking homicide.
It's just a
That's
sad,
what I'm thinking.
Sad
It's
story.
A very sad. And I'll tell you this. The community feels it. They are mourning for her. It is a very sad, tragic loss. Again, what she brought to the community. So we just want to celebrate what she brought when she was here with us. But unfortunately, we do have to report that she was found dead and her body was pulled out of sight, out of the Scioto River.
Right. Rest in peace, Amber.
Rest in peace, Amber. And blessings and shout outs to her family.
Absolutely.
In hopes that they will be able to kind of, you know, come together and pull through this tragic time over the loss of their oldest child that we know of that was their oldest child.
And we're looking for the fucker that killed him.
And we're looking for him. I mean, we do. And the Columbus Police Department needs to step up.
Don't think it's foul play.
And I also don't believe that Amber killed herself. So that's where the medical examiner and the police department is going to have to come together. And they're going to have to just tell us the truth. What happened to Amber?
Good luck.
So that's coming.
No one tells the truth nowadays.
No one
tells the truth nowadays. It's a dog eat dog world. And at the end of the day, Amber just got ate.
Unfortunately. And I'll tell you this, our hearts go out to Amber and her family, the fact that she...
Because she was such a good person.
She really was.
It should not have happened to her like that. It shouldn't have.
Exactly.
I'm sick of this shit, man. Like, seriously, and I do apologize, Lady A. I know that I go too far sometimes. They found her dead.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, no joking, though. They found her dead. She was a community activist.
And so, you know, we'll get into Amber. We'll talk more about Amber because we have a lot of really good information, like from her father, her boyfriend, which was her live-in boyfriend, by the way, you guys.
Don't get me started.
You know, and so to make sure you tune in to our next episode, because we definitely want to give you guys some very detailed background information on this case. And we will continue. Like I said, none of the cases that we present to you, we're ongoing with these cases.
I swear we're going to follow this case to the end.
To the very end.
Somebody is brought to justice in regards to Amber Ember.
That's it.
Evan.
And that's it. Somebody needs to be brought to justice. If she was murdered, then that person needs to pay. That's it. That is the society that we live in. You can't just go around just breaking the law, killing people.
You're not going to.
And
not
thinking
good people.
That you're not going to get caught or you're not going to go to jail. Like, and in some cases, the death penalty. You know, depending on where you live and how heinous the crime is. So let's just be clear about that. We're a true crime podcast.
Yes.
We want justice.
Yes.
That's it. We want to see justice for these families who lost their loved ones.
And we're going to get it.
And not only that, just because, and we all know, well, justice, what is that going to do? That's not going to bring that person back. Yes, you're right. It's not going to bring that person back. But at least you know that the person who did it is now having to account and pay for what they did.
Justice is just us. Just us doing what the hell we do to find murderers.
You can't go around killing people. You can't go around murdering people and thinking that you're going to get away with it. Okay? Anybody will tell you that.
And if it's proven that she killed herself, so be
it.
There's nothing I can do in regards to that.
Let it be.
But I don't think so.
It's got to be proven without the shadow of a doubt. If her family said that would have never, that's nothing that Amber would have ever done. We're not just settling for what they say, because we all know and we've all seen it that oftentimes the coroner will say, oh, that person committed suicide. But we know that's not the truth. Or their family will say, are you kidding me? My sister or wife
would
or
never
daughter
commit
would have
suicide.
Never done that. And let's all keep in mind, you guys, and that's why we want you to
listen. And this is one of those stories. Amber had just completed her bachelor's degree. Had just got a promotion.
Just got a promotion.
To her dream job.
Yep.
She wouldn't have committed suicide.
There's no way.
Think.
There's no way. And that's why we want you guys to tune in to episode one if you have not heard it already. And we will give you a much more detail of the situation with Amber and unfortunately her untimely death and her body being found in the river. And let's keep in mind, she was out there. They just found her body on March 23rd. She went missing in January. So, again, a lot of information. We're not going to be able to cover that now. But let's be able to. We're going to definitely be coming back to that and talking to you guys about what we know. And, again, we're committed to closing these out. That's what we're about. We're about justice for the families, justice for the victims. That's what we're about.
Black, white, or Hispanic, we're going to get results.
It doesn't matter.
Period.
It doesn't matter. I don't care what color you are. If you have been done wrong, murdered, whatever, and your family is seeking justice, let us know. Write into us. Okay? And let us know, because we want to follow up on these stories. So many stories, DJ,
we're
nowadays are just out here, and they kind of fall by the wayside. The news forgets about them. Everybody forgets about them. Why? Because other things are going on. We're the people who do not forget.
Exactly.
So, you know.
And I'm pissed, Lady A.
And I'll tell
you. Amber has been found dead.
She's been, I don't want to say murdered, but she has been found dead. And we got to get to the bottom of that. She's dead, and she was at the Scioto River. They pulled her body out of there, and for whatever reason, she shouldn't be. And we got to find out why. So tune in to us for the next episode. Okay, DJ. So now that we've unfortunately had to render horrific news at the start of the show, geez, you know. Let's get into our next case. Anybody that was listening to episode one knows that our episode two involves the aspiring R&B singer Yolanda Lala Brown.
Lala Brown.
And we really hold this case really kind of near and dear to us because we didn't know Lala Brown, but we all came up on the S.E.X. song
right,
by Life right. Jennings, right? I mean, right. like, we all had heard that song.
S.E.X. Right, yeah. And play the song.
We'll play the song for you guys because.
But it had a good message, though, know. Y'all. It's S.E.X.
Right. It wasn't, for once, there was a sex song
that was actually about sex. Right. It was about
preventing young girls from running out here and having sex. That's what it was about, right?
Thank you, Lala Brown. Thank you, Life Jennings.
And thank you, Kool-Aid. Oh, my God. Yeah. Jatan, Kool-Aid, and all of you guys who participated in that wonderful song.
Because that's what the world needs nowadays. Have you heard some of this nonsense?
Have you heard some of this music nowadays? Sweet Jesus, help us.
Okay? Oh, God, I want to hump you. I want to bump you. I want to fuck you. No, I'm fine.
And this is what our children are listening to.
Oh.
You got your two-year-old running around here talking about, I want to hump you.
Two-year-old can twerk better than you.
Some of y'all parents out there don't even know what twerking is. And if y'all don't, please turn on a YouTube video and just hit twerking. Okay? And it will show you plenty of videos.
I'm going to tell you, if you're respectable, just don't. You know what we're talking about.
So when you see your baby up here, you know exactly what she's doing. And
that's a different show.
Correct that child. Let that baby know that's not the way to go.
Lala Brown.
So let's get into Lala Brown. So Lala Brown was an up-and-coming R&B singer, and she was unfortunately murdered, okay? This is not a question like we talk about in Amber Evans. This is a straight-up homicide case, you guys. So I want you guys to listen very carefully. So at an early age, Yolanda Lala Brown exhibited behaviors that left friends and family believing that she was destined to be a star. Her whole life, she wanted to be a star. Her parents say that she was wanting to be a star. One could catch the young girl singing and dancing, activities she enjoyed doing as she often could, right? Because she was a very creative young girl. Before she entered her teens, she made the decision that she was going to be a professional singer, and she began performing under the name Premier. So at the age of 16, Yolanda became a teenage mother, unfortunately, but that didn't stop her from pursuing her dreams of one day reaching stardom, and that is according to our blackgirls.wordpress.com. who actually wrote a story on Lala Brown. In 2007, Yolanda was 21 years old and still carving out her place in the music industry. She recently toured with popular R&B singer Life Jennings, who asked her to be featured as a vocalist on her track that we just talked about, S.E.X. And we're going to play that song, just a small clip of that song.
Oh, my gosh, she could sing. She could sing her butt off.
She really could sing. And I'll tell you, DJ, and I think this is a good stopping point to kind of talk through this. It's interesting because Lala Brown actually met Life Jennings in a club. So he happened to be there.
Meet me in the club. Let me stop.
Right, but she did. And the thing about it is she saw him there, and a lot of people become starstruck. You know, oh my God, it's Life Jennings. Oh my God, it's 50 Cent, Beyonce, Jay-Z. Yeah. She used this as an opportunity. And she told him, I want to be a singer. I'm an aspiring artist.
You blame her?
And you want to talk about... Okay.
A vocal.
You guys.
She got a mouth on her. No, in a clean way.
In a clean way.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
She had a voice.
Meaning her game, like she got out there, she didn't get starstruck. She didn't start, becoming obsessed and not able to communicate. That just gives us an insight to the person that she was. But she talks to Life Jennings. He's in the club. They're hanging, you know, like they're not hanging out. Like he doesn't know her. So, you know, she kind of introduces herself and they spark up a conversation and he says, well, sing for me. And she does.
And she sang. She didn't
and
sing. She, I mean, sang.
She, did, she sang voice the men singing.
Oh,
okay,
my
like
goodness.
Michael Bivins was like, all right, well, let me see what
we
y'all
got. We gotta get audio. She could sing her ass off.
Yeah, that's what Lala. That's what Lala. That's what Lala was doing. Okay, she was like,
hey, stop it. Okay. We ain't gonna do that. Shout out Boyz II Men. Goddamn.
Shout out to Boyz II Men and Biggie D and
Michael. These are family.
So she sang, she did her thing. And Life Jennings was very, very impressed with her. So much to the fact that when he had written SEX, he asked her to be on the track. And we'll have the music video in the show notes so you guys can see what La La looked like and really listen to her sound. I mean, she was really, really a creative girl, and she had that unique touch. So, and she was very young, like I said, 21. So
21?
21. What I mean, a waste. Just a baby. I mean, for some of us, again, when we think 21, we think baby, right? We think, wow, like, you've not even lived any part of your life. But here she is, linked up with Life Jennings. He's at the height of his career. She's trying to get into her career. And they end up collabing on this.
Yeah, they linked up on some good shit.
On this song. So the song actually ended up charting in the top 5 spot on the Billboard's hot R&B hip-hop songs.
Hey, and it should have won number one. What was it above really it? Up. I would like to see what was above
yeah.
it. I bet it was
Beyonce
or Jay-Z or somebody exactly. white.
Shit. Let us know, okay?
That SEX song was banging.
SEX was a...
It's about your SEX. You remember?
Yes, and for Sorry. Those of you who don't remember, right?
SEX! Something like that, though. It did. It did.
For those of you
who life is hard to fuck, Eddie went to jail. That's that nigga.
Right, and that's why his name was, that's why he changed it to Life, because he was facing life at one point.
Crazy.
And he changed. Clearly,
sorry,
he turned himself around, and he
you
was
know
able
how
to
I am.
Come out. So I think that, you know, if you guys have never heard songs from him, I would probably advise that you look him up on
Yeah,
because
that's not the other one. I mean, he had a lot of, that's not the only one.
That's
he had
not
a lot
the
of
only
positive
one.
Songs.
He had the Must Be Nice
He
song.
Was really a good,
Must be nice.
What they called her, I mean, a singer. He's a crooner.
I'm not exactly
you,
sure what they called
like
him.
Just like Jaheim. Yeah, it was like,
yeah.
you know.
And his messages were very, very positive. So you could, like, you're young. I'm real big on what my children listen to. So if there's a positive message out there, then I'm all for them listening to it. So I think I can say that the music that he has put out there that we've heard have been positive, including the song he did with La La Brown.
Here's the thing. It's been positive to a point. I mean, the nigga was locked up.
And I will not say that we listened to the whole album.
But
we have not listened to the whole album.
But
just for reference,
we fair. So we don't listen to everybody's whole album,
right?
And we are co-signing Life Jennings.
And can you say
to a point
that you like nowadays? It's kind of like you skim through albums now.
Yeah.
The albums just ain't what they used to be nowadays. Yeah. You skim through it, you give it 2 seconds, and you're like,
and I had to get out
I'm
of that
fine.
Too.
And then right. next right. thing you know,
right.
you're just skipping through it. But then you hear it on the radio, and you're like, what the hell? Like, you know, that
right.
kind of thing. So,
and I was going to go there, Lady A, but this is a real serious situation. Let's get back into La La and Kool-Aid, because their life was abruptly brought to an end by a murderer that's still on the loose.
And somebody knows something.
We do not accept that. That's not acceptable.
10 years,
and we
y'all.
Will find.
10 years, y'all.
They're
somebody's know. Somebody knows something. So let's get back right, because let's go ahead and get through this. So, like I just said, the song did chart in the top 5, and off of that, Yolanda's career seemed to be on the up and up. I mean, she was like doing her thing. She's on a hit song with Life Jennings, who's in the prime of his career, and everybody just doing their thing. Well, they went out on tour, and they were on tour. No one, I don't have a specific number of how long they were on tour, but they were on tour
so
for
some
time.
So that was city to city. God damn
exactly.
it. They was getting
they
it
was
after it. They was getting
thing.
Out of that bag.
They
you already know what time it
thing.
Was.
And La La was on tour
Shit.
For quite a time. She was on tour for quite a while with Life Jennings. So, I mean, they have a number one hit song, and they are on tour off of that song on his album, and they're doing their thing. However, during the tour, Life and La La didn't quite see eye to eye on things.
About what?
Not sure. Some people say it's money, that she was not being paid the way that it was promised. And in some cases, some people say, and this is all speculation, some people say she wasn't being paid at all. Keep in mind, I just told you guys that she had a child when she was 16. So she does have a baby back home. She's got to take care of this little girl, her daughter. And
you think somebody took advantage of her?
I think that maybe perhaps... Like Jenny,
but it happens,
she was
though.
A new artist and she was up and coming, and just the fact that she was on a tour, he probably felt that was good enough.
Who was not her manager?
Not sure. Again,
her manager should have looked out for her. Because a lot of times, and I do know this for a fact, a lot of times you'll do something off the love, you know, I scratch your back, you scratch my back, and we get it cracking like that. But what you're telling me, and what it seems like you're telling me, is she wasn't getting paid for anything.
That's
she out here on the road,
like,
starving and broke.
That's what
that's
it sounds
not good.
Like.
We can't do that.
That's what
but
it
I mean,
sounds like.
But I mean, if I'm out here with you and we doing shows, I'm getting minimal money, but I'm, you know, got my own thing going on, we can do that. But I gotta eat. If
exactly.
I'm not eating, then ain't nobody eating.
Not to mention, like, what it's like to be on a
tour. What was the relationship between Life and Lala?
So, okay. So, as we get into this thing with Life and Lala. Now, like Jenny says, and I don't, this is not a quote from him, but people say that like Jenny said that there was never any type of physical relationship.
You sure?
Him. This is what I'm just saying, you guys. I don't know this for a fact, but they're saying that there was never any type of physical relationship between Life Jenny's and
okay.
Lala Brown.
Okay.
However, the caveat to that is some people
caveat.
Say... That she was pregnant by him.
By Life?
That's what they're saying.
Was she dating Kool-Aid or no?
No, no. She was not in a relationship.
Oh, so
we
she
haven't
was
even
wide
got
out.
To Kool-Aid yet, but she was not, when she was on tour with
okay.
Life, she was on tour with Life.
Who was Kool-Aid?
That was her boyfriend after she came back home from being kicked off
Hold
the tour.
Hold on, baby. Lady A, are we sure?
Yes.
So listen, let's break it down for the people. She was single.
Now, I don't know how single she was.
Might have had a baby by Life Jennings and came back and got with Kool-Aid.
Here's the thing. I don't believe, and this is my own personal opinion, I don't believe that Lala Brown was ever pregnant or impregnated by Life Jennings. That is just rumor. And when people don't know for a fact what is going on, I mean, we're putting the message out to you guys because this is what's going on. That was what
hey,
was
I'm checking
on
now, y'all.
Streets.
Google.
That was what was going on around in the streets, is that word of mouth is like, you know, when somebody dies and they're linked to a celebrity or any type of person, they always try to link them up and say, well, this person was messing around with them, or they were this or they were that. And so that was the word on the street. That is what the rumors were. Oh, well, she must have been, you know, she was dating Life Jennings and she got pregnant by him.
Right, you're right about that.
You know, and so nobody knows this to be true, but we have to put the information out there to let you know this is what was going on, because at the time, that is what the rumor was. But she was kicked off the tour by Life. And this
Life kicked her off the tour.
Life kicked her off the tour and she went back home to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where she's from. So there again, you guys, there's like Life Jennings never came out and said this or anything. And I think probably in his case, it'd probably be better that he didn't say a whole lot, right? I mean, this girl is on tour with you, y'all have a disagreement, you end up kicking her off, and now she's dead.
Right.
I mean, I don't think you should be coming out saying a whole lot if
right.
you know, but if you don't have, on the other hand of that, if you don't have nothing to hide, then why not speak up?
Right. The album was The Phoenix.
Yes, I think that was his first album.
Okay.
We'll have to get the name, you guys, for his first album. But I think it may have been like his first album was the name coming off of his, because like we told you guys that he was in prison. So I think he named it like his cell number, the number that they give you when you're in prison, that sort of thing. So we'll get some more information on that. So fast forward that. Like I said, so Lala, whatever happened between Life Jennings and Lala Brown, she was kicked off the tour. Okay, that is the sum of it. She was kicked off the tour and she returned home to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where she is from. So after the devastation of her losing her spot on the Life Jenny's tour, Yolanda was ready to shape her solo career. Don't blame her. Keep it moving.
All right? Got to do it.
One monkey don't stop no show, right. And that is no pun intended.
And
right?
I checked on it, y'all. I can't really find any evidence in regards to that. We're going to have to work on our staff around her. I'm just saying. Go ahead.
Well, and that's just a speculation. And I did the investigation type work. So, you know, that is
love
what,
you,
the,
Mama,
what
is the speculation anyway, go ahead,
was.
Though.
So, after she ended up losing her spot on the Live Jenny's tour, Yolanda was ready to go ahead and shape her solo career. Don't blame her. She was working on new tracks with her boyfriend. And this is her new boyfriend, who's also a producer. His name is Jaton Kool-Aid Claiborne. And it looked like they Kool-Aid, were right. That's what they know him in the street as Kool-Aid.
So that's his new boyfriend. Who's the old boyfriend?
We don't know. She didn't have a boyfriend that we know of. And if she did, he wasn't worth talking about. So Jaton Kool-Aid Claiborne was a producer. So they linked up. They're dating. He's producing her music for her.
Have I told you that you're my kind of woman, lady? I'm sorry. If she did have a boyfriend, he wasn't worth talking about. Continue. I'm sorry. I just had to say that. Go ahead. I'm a fool.
No disrespect to the guy that was dating Lala before Jaton Kool-Aid Claiborne came about.
Right. But.
But he came about. Okay. She, if you was dating her, she let you go. So they ended up hooking up. Kool-Aid actually owned his own studio. He worked very hard for it. It was right there in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee, where they were from. And he...
Thanks, Lady A. Where were they from? I'm sorry.
They were actually from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Milwaukee, so she went Wisconsin,
back,
y'all.
She went back to Milwaukee,
Wisconsin. I've never been there. Have you?
I've never been there. Don't know a whole lot about it, but I will say that it was clearly, you
know.
Wow,
did we just, wow. So it's a small, it's not a small city, but it's a big city with a small black community.
I'm going to say it's a big city with a big black community.
Nebraska? I don't think so.
With in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, it seemed like there may have been, but you know, you guys, we'll have to get back to you on that. DJ, can you look up the population of black people that live in that community?
Can we ask Siri? Can we ask Siri, y'all?
Ask Siri. Just let Siri communicate and tell the people.
Hey, Siri. How many blacks are in...
Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
The black or African American population of Milwaukee, Wisconsin is about 234,711 people.
Okay, then. So, it's not a lot.
Well, and compared to the number of people that actually live there, that's probably a small population.
Exactly. I mean, if it's 200 anything, it's probably, you could just figure it's probably about a quarter. About 25%.
Exactly.
In the state, y'all.
That's Milwaukee. Okay, right. Sorry. That's not the state, you guys. That's just in Milwaukee. So, Kool-Aid actually owned a production company called Loud Enough Productions. Okay. And that is centered right in the heart of Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. And so him and Lala were dating. I have not been able to get any information as to the terms of how long they were dating, like if they just got together. But I will say this, they dated long enough for them to move in together. She moved in with him.
Okay, so they dated for a day.
And
I'm just joking. Because
nowadays, I mean, we just keeping it 100, child. Nowadays, people, it don't take long for people to move in together. Oh, I love you. I love you. Well, let's just go ahead and move in together. And so that, and we're not saying this is what happened with Lala. But what we're saying is that one thing we do know factually is that they moved in together.
Got it.
Fast forward that.
Love it.
Okay. Oh, and just a side note, when they moved in because Kool-Aid actually owned Loud Enough Productions. It was in a building. that he, I don't know if he owned it or he rented it. Right, I don't know. Right, right. The other side of that was his apartment. So right. Loud Enough Productions was on one side and their living quarters was on another side.
Right, 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 right. Let's get serious again.
Right.
The studio's on the other side and the apartment's on the
other side.
If y'all understand me. Follow me. One side the studio, one side the house.
What do we label it as? Like a duplex maybe?
Yeah, duplex or whatnot, but maybe commercial slash residential.
There you go.
So at the end of the day, he lived where his studio was.
There you go.
Meaning he mixed his business with work. And even if he didn't, he had no other choice but to because he lived where he worked.
And his mother said that he has spent a lot of money and a lot of time buying all of his own equipment.
And I believe that because Lala hit. And Lala, you know,
but
made a name
in
for herself.
And this is before him and Lala got together. His mother says that he spent a lot of time, a lot of money, of his own money, all of it, really, I have to say, buying up all of the beats and the machines to
make
the beats.
Yeah, lady, I wasn't saying that. I just meant that he was thorough. That's why Lala was able to come to him and have, you know, a good
and say, let's do this. And again, with Lala coming off of the Life Jennings tour, she's really low-key a celebrity in her own city. Mm-hmm. Because think about it. Okay, I just came off of millions of people have just seen me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And the thing I hate about Lala is that I guess it's after reading the you know, the bio, she didn't have her contracts together.
Yeah.
You know, her paperwork wasn't right. Listen, y'all, make sure that your paperwork is right. I mean, whether you're a singer, have your contract right.
Yeah.
A rapper, have your contract right. Have your deals right.
Yeah.
If you have your life insurance right.
Yeah.
Have your, you know, whatever, your 401k right.
Yeah.
Just have your paperwork right. You ain't get to worry about nothing.
That's true. And I tell you, and to piggyback off of what you just said, because Lord knows that's the gospel truth. Because I think in Lala's situation, here she is. She's at a club. She knows she's a singer. She knows that she wants to be a celebrity. She's always known this. And now the opportunity presents itself. Oftentimes, people don't think through a moment. The moment is so sky high that they don't even realize, oh, wait a minute. Okay, let me get my business affairs in order. You know what I'm saying? Let me make sure my people is together. Let me make sure I'm together. She may not even have had a business manager.
You are absolutely right. Let me talk to our young people.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone young listening to this, make sure your affairs are in order. You have to. It seems like you'll live forever, but you never know. And even if you will, you still want to grab that rake while you're young. It's things that your mom and dad, even you, don't want to talk to yourself about. But at the end of the day, you have to.
That's right.
It's a reality of life. We only here for a certain... Everyone's born to die.
Yeah.
So...
That's just the reality, y'all.
Get our paperwork in order. Go ahead, Joe.
And you want to talk to them, DJ, about... You know, even if you're riding on a sky high moment, you know, you ran into Beyonce. Let's say you ran into Jay-Z or Beyonce. They like what you're doing, right? And they say, oh my God, I want you to be on tour with me.
Especially.
You have to be able to kind of, and I think that's where, I don't know this for a fact, but I think this is where maybe Lala did not have her affairs in order. Because when she came to Life Jennings and said, wait a minute, why am I being paid minimum wage? I mean, for real. I mean, I'm just keeping it 100, right? Why am I being paid minimum wage and I'm out here every single night on the road, on these tour buses, doing this, doing that, and I'm like the lowest end of the totem pole? Why is that? But yet, I'm on your number one hit song. And let's keep it 100, y'all, because if you look at TLC and groups of that nature, they were the same way. They're out here running around here. They're touring. They're doing this. They're doing that. And yet, they're not being paid what they should be getting paid. That is a big, big, big deal. Anybody who's looking to go into the music industry, please take heed to what we're saying. Okay? This is a cautionary tale of how you have to have your affairs in order. No matter who's doing it. Or who's presenting the idea to you. So fast forward that. All right? So now she's off the tour with Life Jennings, and we'll show you guys in the show notes the picture of her at Life Jennings. And DJ, if you don't mind pulling up that snippet of that song where we can kind of go through that, so everybody just kind of has an idea. But she's now back at home, and she's like, you know what? Screw this. I'm going to do my own thing. So she starts dating Jaton Claiborne. He has his own production studio, Loud Enough Productions, and they are a couple now. So they're working on her debut album, getting things out there that she's trying to get signed to a record label. However, this is where the situation turns. So unfortunately, both Yolanda and Jaton were both shot and left dead in his Loud Enough Productions recording studio. So investigators determined that the pair had been dead for at least 3 days before their bodies were discovered in the studio. And actually, it was Jaton Kool-Aid. It was his brother, his older brother, that actually went to the studio. And he was able to kind of like kick the door in, and he saw that, unfortunately, that Lala and
he kicked Kool-Aid, the door in.
Yeah, he did. He kicked the door in. And you guys can see that on America's Most Wanted, where he kicked the door in. He actually was able to discover their bodies after 3 days.
Hold on now.
Not speaking.
This has been on TV.
America's Most Wanted has covered it as well.
Shout out America's Most Wanted. Give me that link.
Shout out to America's Most Wanted, John Walsh. Go to AMW.com/ Lala Brown. And Unsolved Mysteries has also covered this story. OurBlackGirls.com has also covered this story. And then, of course, the Milwaukee local news has covered this story. So, you know, any of these, we're going to have them all in the show notes for you to be able to look through these. If you have any information, please contact the Milwaukee Police Department. But it was about 3 days. Now, according to America's Most Wanted, Lala Brown and Kool-Aid attended the same barbershop / hair salon. And I know you guys know exactly what we're talking about, right? I mean, one half of it is the hair salon. The other half of it is the barbershop. And they both attended the same area. So it was reported that Lala was receiving phone calls where people were like calling her phone, and then they were hanging up. And
what? Whoa!
People
were calling her phone, hanging up.
Yes.
No, were they giving death threats?
They were just saying that they were calling and they were hanging up. And Lala felt so uncomfortable. And this is according again to John Walsh, America's Most Wanted. Lala Brown was so uncomfortable to the point where she wanted to move out of Loud Enough Production Studios, where she was living with her boyfriend, and into her own apartment. She was saying, she was asking people the last time that they saw her at the beauty salon, do you guys know of any open apartment vacancies or apartment complexes that are now, you know, leasing to people or whatever? And so, you know, she really wanted to get out of that situation. Now, the thing about it that makes it so mysterious is, A, who's calling her? Who is calling her? Why are you calling her? For what reason would you be stalking her? And she had reported that she was having a stalker.
Right.
Does this have anything to do with Kool-Aid? Is this an ex-girlfriend? I mean, is this a bad business deal? What is this about? I mean, DJ, just your thought process at this point, based off of what we know.
I feel like it's a hater.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's a hater in some regards. At the end of the day, you have two up-and-coming stars. I mean, at the highest level, not at the highest level, but up and coming, gunned down in her studio. It had to be an inside job. Who else would know that?
And I'll tell you the thing about it, though, DJ, was the fact that when the police identified that there was a break-in, they noticed that it wasn't like a door kick-in and things of that nature. I mean, they said that somebody...
Let them in.
Like, they knew that they were comfortable with these
people. That's how you know.
And I'll tell you guys, cautionary tale. Stop trusting everybody that comes to your house.
Don't let anyone in your house, period. If you didn't call them and say, if you can't identify their face through the peephole, don't let them in your fucking house.
And
period.
Even if you can identify them, I'm going to tell you guys, some red flags.
No.
Abnormal times of day or night that they're coming in. You know, they're coming to knock on your door. Calling you at just random.
Are you talking about something else, Lady A, or are we talking about something different? Like, at the end of the day, we're not talking about, I mean, I guess stalkers. You're talking about stalkers, though.
Or people that you trust. So,
why would someone you trust because.
So, statistically, 90% of the people that are killed by people that they know.
Right, but they didn't say you trust. When you say trust, I feel like you trust somebody. I trust you, Lady A.
And
if I see you,
DJ,
you pull up, come on, right. Door unlocked.
Right. But, you know, for some of those in-laws that you may have been like, well,
the door's
they're married
locked.
To my sister or they're married to my brother.
No, I don't do
so
that.
So I just feel like
I only
that's, those are the people that
people.
We're talking about. Those are the people we're talking about.
Me, you, and God. And
that's
my
right.
Children.
That's right. The and don't feel obligated to
trust anyone.
Open your door just because you
don't.
Know them.
Rule number one. Don't.
Rule number one.
Don't
that's
open
it.
Your door to anyone.
That's
don't.
It. I don't care if you know them. I don't care if you know them. That is a cautionary tale. If you do not, if you, just because they're your in-law doesn't make them your family. Okay? Point blank period.
Okay. Hey, so for a couple minutes. If you know them, why wouldn't you let them in? But it's like, whatever. My biggest thing is you saying, even if you know him. Okay? If I know you, that I've called you and you're coming over. I mean, if you, like, what's your definition of knowing someone? I think that's the discrepancy.
Right.
Because you're saying, oh, even if you know him, don't let him in. But if I, like, hey, I know you. I'm going to let you in. But if I know what? The producer, I'm not going to let them in? Talk
I think,
to me,
I
baby.
Think it's at your level of security. So what I'm saying is that if you know typically this person would never show up at your house at 9 o'clock at night and yet they're showing up at your front door, they didn't call you. I mean, come on, let's face it. We're in a day in the age of cell phones where you can text, call, FaceTime, whatever you can do. If you know that this person is a little, and you're thinking to yourself, wow, what's this person doing at
my house?
But
you just had a friend, babe. I don't give a fuck. If you pull up around 9 o'clock, Lady A, what's happening, baby?
Enter at your own risk. How about I say that?
Oh, shit. Don't ever come over my house around 9 o'clock before then.
Enter at your own risk.
All right, well, it's over. I'm going to tell you right now, you're no longer welcome after 9.
If that is the case, enter at your own risk. If you know that person would never typically come to your home around the time that they've showed up, they didn't call, they didn't text, they didn't say anything because they don't want to leave a paper trail,
well,
they
like
probably
friend.
Don't want to let them in.
But again, if that's the case, if you can't trust your friends and you're a bad judge of character, you need to check yourself.
Well,
before you wreck yourself.
I don't think that's fair because we've all had friends that we trusted. Until people trust people until they can't trust people.
Everyone has different encounters and everyone has different situations with different situations.
Right.
But
so
let's digress, Lady A.
Right. Use your situation as you best see fit. We're just giving you all scenarios here.
What's wrong, Lady A? You want to fight? What's happening? Shit. You looking at me with
we're
a
just giving
you looking
all
at me with a stank eye. Hey, I don't give a fuck.
We're
shit.
Just
we
giving
can
you
do the damn thing right now.
Here. We're just giving you all scenarios.
I love you.
Okay?
Lady A, like a sister. All right?
We love each other. We're
Listen.
Not fighting, just so you guys know.
We
but
up
we're
here. Doing,
but what we are saying is that use your best judgment.
Right. And go to Olive Garden. What is this shit we got for Olive Garden right here? This is a great,
this
the
is
new one. The new appetizer.
The new chicken. Wait. Is this the chicken parmesan? I'm going to do a quick commercial for Olive Garden, okay?
No.
This is the new... I don't even know the exact name of it, but this is some really good new chicken parmesan that they done put on their menu. So look it up, you guys. It's really, really good. And they got a great season to go with it. However, so we're going to digress. We're going to move forward and we're going to kind of get through this. So we took you through the fact that, you know, that Lala Brown, she was on tour with Life Jenny. She got kicked off of the tour for whatever reason. We really don't know the reasons why. She came back to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. She started dating Jatan Kool-Aid Claiborne. He was the owner of Loud Enough production recording studio where they recorded and they lived. We know that Lala Brown was actually receiving some like mysterious phone calls, and people were like they were calling her phone and they were hanging up and just being really weird with it. She communicated to the beauty salon and the barbershop that she was uncomfortable with where she lived and she wanted to move. So she was ready to move out of the home that her and Kool-Aid shared. However, unfortunately, she never got the chance to do that. So, you know, that's where they actually found her and Kool-Aid murdered inside of his production studio.
That was on top of the studio, right?
They were not on top of the studio. They were actually in the studio. And this is where I question where their living quarters were and where the studio was. I think it was all in the same area. But what the police is indicating is that there was no forced entry. So nobody had actually...
Right, but a week before that, Kool-Aid had beef, right?
Well, I don't know of any beef that Kool-Aid actually had. There was speculation that his studio had been robbed before.
Like a week before, a couple of days before.
It was about a week or a couple of days before Lala and Kool-Aid were found murdered. And keep in mind, you guys, their bodies sat there for like 3 days before anybody even discovered them. And the person that discovered them was Kool-Aid's brother. So, yes, you're absolutely right, DJ. There was speculation that they thought that whoever went to go rob Kool-Aid's studio didn't make off with everything that they wanted to the first time around. And so they came back. But this time, Lala and Kool-Aid was actually there. So I don't know how often Lala and Kool-Aid actually was in the studio, but they lived there. So I have to imagine that
bring
they
it back, Lady
quite
Ann.
A bit.
They hit the studio twice?
Twice.
God damn it.
Two times. Two times. Not one time, but two times.
I'm sick of them.
And the first time, Kool-Aid and Lala were not there. But the second time they were, and that is unfortunately the demise. Now, they are saying
right.
That there is video footage.
Video?
Video. Of when the people who broke in, quote unquote, or just kind of like went in there, because they said that there was no forced entry. That they have them on video, but the video was so grainy that they couldn't identify who the people were.
Step your surveillance game up.
There you go.
Step your surveillance game up. And, I mean, we're going to have to also, that's Lady it. A. I mean, around here.
Is that going to have to be an episode of ours on how to tell people
you got
that
to
if you
do
have
it.
Video?
You got to do it. Make sure it's good
what
video.
What kind of video you should be having?
If you got your surveillance in 1980, it's obsolete now.
Get rid of it.
If it's only in one room, give it in two.
Over.
If it's only in
forget
two rooms, give it in four.
The 1980s video, it's over. Forget about it. Let it go.
You better let it go.
Let it go.
Let it
TKO. Okay, listen to that song. Let's tell you. The people who say that they have video footage and it's not really recording, let it go. If you gonna have video, don't use it as a deterrent.
You need to be able to go back and say, yes, this is what happened.
Because you never know.
Here's a clean video shot.
You never know. Ever since, I swear, okay, how many First 48 have we seen where they go out there and they say, oh, I was so glad I saw the video camera out there and this is their turn. And they say, oh, that's just a deterrent. That's just a deterrent? It's just, what do you mean it's just a deterrent? Okay, what if something something really was to pop off. Only a deterrent. Something really popped off, and now you don't even have
to. It's only a deterrent because the video wasn't real.
You're pathetic.
We don't do that no more.
Pathetic.
Okay? Real video cameras, HD footage. I got your punk ass. Period. Period.
Wi-Fi.
Okay. Lala Brown.
Okay. So, unfortunately, this is what happened with Lala Brown and Kool-Aid. They had video, or I'll say this, somebody had video, and it was probably across the street, but the video, like you said, was grimy, wasn't clear, and all, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Moving forward, that was back, way back when, okay? That was about 10 years ago when Lala Brown was actually murdered, and that is really, in all honesty, I mean, we're saying a whole lot of things, but the truth of the matter is that it's been about 10 years since Lala Brown has been, and Kool-Aid, right? That since they have been murdered. And, so nearly a decade, right? And Yolanda.
Has it been that long?
It's been that
long. Hey, let's find Kool-Aid and Yolanda, y'all.
They're murderers.
Look, Lala Brown and Kool-Aid.
They're murderers.
Where are they?
We know where they are, but we just need to know who killed them.
Where are their murderers, should I say? I'm so sorry, y'all. I get so upset, and I'm trying to refrain from cursing and doing the ignorant thing. Lala Brown and Kool-Aid, let's find their murderers. This is nonsense. Again, we don't know if it's black-on-black killing, but I know that the people in the neighborhood that are black aren't saying anything. People that know things aren't saying anything. What the fuck are we doing?
And I'll say this, y'all. This is a team effort.
I'm sorry.
It really is. It's a team effort. And I know we laugh and joke. And you'll hear that a lot on the...
Excuse my language. Lady A, I do apologize for my language. I do. That's not me. 10 years.
Been 10 years.
These are good people. Two of them.
Young. 21. Both
I'm
of
sorry
them.
That I said that. I dropped the F-bomb. Lady A, please. Forgive me.
We're going to have to make you pay $1 for every time you drop a curse word. So $1 has to go into the curse word jar.
Lady A, it's April.
Y'all would suggest all y'all do that too.
April showers bring May flowers.
So, you know, and again, but I do understand where you're coming from, DJ, because it's very frustrating. And I think that what we need to understand is that...
My passion.
Yeah, it is our passion. That's what we do. We want justice for the families
that are
getting
it. I'm going to fall back for a minute. I do apologize for the F-bomb,
you guys. No, and I don't think you should, because
we
do want... I think
it's not that type of show.
Sometimes it's not... I don't think that...
I just feel like we're never going to find the killer.
Enough people are mad about it. Sometimes I feel like enough people aren't mad about it. Because here you have, and I'm not going to go down this whole hoopla, but you've got a lot of unsolved crimes. Celebrity crimes. Biggie, Tupac, things of that nature. Where it's been 20 years and they haven't found, you know, found the murderers. But in the case of Lala, so let's kind of get on that, because I want you guys to understand what the police department is saying. So it's been a decade since Yolanda Lala Brown has been murdered, and Yolanda's parents revealed on WISN 12 News that police do have a suspect and that the lead detective is assured that he is the perpetrator, meaning the guy that they have.
They got a suspect?
They have a
suspect. What year is this, though?
And this was in...
Because I didn't realize this was 10 years old.
Yeah, this was in... And the case went... But in 2016, they said that they had a suspect. And so they said that... But the police weren't in any hurry to charge this guilty party.
Is it an inside job? Is it just like Amber...
With any crime. Now, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer.
Sure you
but
are.
I'm going to tell you this. I don't know why you would sit here and announce that you have a suspect, but say, I don't want to charge them with anything. That doesn't even make any sense to me. So the father of Lala Brown is saying, charge him. If you say that this is the guy who killed my baby, handle that business. And so... This is what Yolanda Lala Brown's father said. The guy, they said, is responsible, is incarcerated out of state, and he is not going nowhere right now. So they're not rushing it, but they would like to bring him back to stand trial on this one. That is what Yolanda Lala Brown's father is saying. Even if he's caught, it's not going to take the pain away ever. It'll never take the pain away, is what Yolanda's mother, Maria Brown, has said. And so what they're saying is that it's their hope that one day both Yolanda and Jatan's killer will be brought to justice, offering some sense of closure to their loved ones. And we want that too.
We absolutely want that too.
Point blank period. We want foreclosure to be done. Now, we can say this. That even though the police department has said that they do not have anybody they have got a person that is in custody. This person has never been brought up formally on charges of murdering Lala Brown.
Do we know who they have in custody?
We don't have any information.
Right.
But I'm gonna tell you guys, if you have information or if someone that you know has information,
Don't hesitate,
okay? Call the Milwaukee Police Department. Their phone number is 414-935-7360. That is 414-935-7360. Let's get some closure to this family.